And this is the What Do You Think program. Today we have candidate running for probate district judge, Jessica Testelin-Rinke, here with us. And what we're going to do is I'm going to introduce her. I'm going to let her speak for 3 minutes, and then I'm going to get right into some questions, and we'll go from there. Thank you for joining us. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thanks, Russ. My name is Jessica Testelin-Rinke, as you already indicated. I'm running for probate judge, which also presides over district court. A little bit about my background. I graduated from Port Hope High School in 2000 with a big class of 9. I then went to Albion College, where I graduated in 2004 with a degree in economics and management. I then went to the University of Detroit Mercy School of Law and graduated in 2000. After I graduated law school, I came back to Huron County because I love it here. I love our community. I love the people here. And I just enjoy Huron County. In 2008, I was hired by the prosecutor's office and was an assistant prosecutor for over a year. In 2009, I was appointed as the Huron County District Court Attorney Magistrate. In 2012, I was also appointed as Huron County Circuit Court Juvenile Referee. I continued both of those jobs until recently, last year, I became the Huron County Circuit Court FOC referee, Friend of the Court referee. During that period of time, I got married and we had 2 children, Emma and Harrison, and have been working in Huron County my entire career. And that's just a little bit about me, Russ. Did you want to start with questions?
Yeah, we can do that. Let me get right into it. So my first question is going to be about probate court. And you're going to have 3 minutes to answer. How should probate courts handle family disputes when the legal issue is only part of the conflict?
It's the job of the court to decide what the legal conflict is and what the family dispute is. So what we're going to do as a court, we're going to have a hearing and listen to both parties present their side of the case. It's the court's job to weed out anything that is not a fact that must be applied to the law. So we listen closely to the facts in the case and apply it to the law. The other part of the family dispute, it's not in front of the judge at that time. It is what the court needs to, as a court, decide, okay, we're looking at this case. These are the facts as I'm listening to it, and we're going to apply it to the law, and that is all that the court needs to do, and that's what the court should do, not taking into account any emotions or anything like that, just taking the facts, weeding out those facts, and applying it to the law.
Okay. Well, what alternatives to incarceration do you believe are underutilized?
Sometimes incarceration is necessary in certain circumstances. There are other types of services that can be provided when it comes to a sentencing. So right now we don't have a mental health court in Huron County, but that would be helpful. There are other programs that the court is currently putting into place, such as Thinking Matters, or also like Alcoholics Anonymous, or anything that can get the services that that person needs to move past what the issue is. So when I'm looking at a case in a sentencing situation, I'm first deciding, okay, what is the background of the case? What actually happened? What they're charged with? And are there any mental health issues? Are there any kind of other issues, criminal history, background, things like that? Is probation more appropriate for this person? Do we want to put them on probation to see if they can test negative for any alcohol or anything like that, do we want to consider putting them in Thinking Matters to see a program so we could help them think before they act in the future? Those are kind of things that we look at and when we're addressing a sentencing situation. And like I said, sometimes we are also thinking this is a case that's more severe and we need to be look at the punishment aspect and sentence to actual jail time. But sometimes there are alternatives to sentencing and jail time.
Well, and I like what you said. To me, it sounds like if you can provide a service, take, for example, somebody that's been drinking and put them like in TRSC and then get them on the road to recovery during a probation period, it kind of gives them a head start.
It certainly would. But I will once again say that sometimes if it requires some punishment because this is something that's happened several times and things like that, we have to look at also protecting the public and making sure that everyone is safe too. So if it requires some jail time first or anything like that, that may be necessary, or we could try it with TRC and see if they can follow through. And if they can't, then that's where the punishment comes forward.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sometimes there is an alternative. Sometimes there isn't, but sometimes there is.
What is something the public misunderstands about judges? What would be a misconception?
I don't really think that I've... That's a really difficult question, Russ. Maybe that judges, I don't know. Maybe that they are party affiliated. I guess that would be a good example of something. Judges are not supposed to be party affiliated. They are supposed to be unbiased and come from a position of not looking at one side over the other, just listening to the facts and applying it to the law. You're never supposed to be legislating from the bench. And I know that's something that's very concerning to a lot of the public. The laws are made by legislature. The court follows the laws, applies the facts to the laws. It's as simple as that.
Good. What's the most difficult decision a judge has to make that has nothing to do with the law? And this could be probate, district court, either one.
The most difficult decision not having to do with the law? Well, I guess it would possibly be judges are also in charge of the court that they preside over. So one of the things that a judge would need to do is help with the administration of the court. A court is kind of like a small business. You have to run the court and manage the court. It may be a difficult decision to discipline an employee or something like that. That is not part of the court proceeding per se, but it is part of a judge's job. With my degree in economics and management and working with the court for so long, I have been part of the administration process in district court for 16 years. I was part of that for 16 years and worked closely with the court administrator in implementing some of those different kinds of economic parts of the job and running the court itself.
That's good, because I wouldn't think about that either, that, you know, you're more than sitting behind a bench. You are running an entire division of the office.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can also say one of the things that while I was in the district court for 16 years, I always was developing several different things to make the court run more smoothly and effectively. I wrote and developed several databases for criminal law, ordinance violations, and civil infractions. I also co-authored a grant with the Sheriff's Office for paperless tickets and then ensured compliance. I co-authored the MIDC standards and researched and wrote the cost analysis and compliance plan, including the local MIDC director estimate and time and duties. I wrote the content for the Huron County District Court and Magistrate Court websites. These are all things that go on behind the scenes that no one knows that the court actually does. These are some of the things I help do to make the court run more effectively and efficiently.
So you're saying you do more than just sit behind a bench and tell people they've done something wrong.
Absolutely. And I do want to also point out a lot of people, I think, look at district court and think this is just a criminal court. It's not. We have a lot of cases, general civil cases, which is any dispute $25,000 or less, small claims. That's another civil case. We have landlord-tenant and destruction of dog cases, which I'm not supposed to talk about because people get really upset about it. But these are all other cases that the possible penalty is never going to be jail time because they're civil cases. So we're looking at contract law, which I love doing contract law, or liability law or things like that. Landlord-tenant law, which is based on contract lease. So those are all things that I've worked on as well in the courthouse for the past 16 years.
Okay. What's the greatest danger of judicial power? I'm sorry, I don't ask normal questions.
Yeah. Judicial power. I think there are a lot of dangers. I think that legislating from the bench is a huge issue that we're dealing with today. I think that certain people out for themselves rather than the community and serving the public, because one of the judicial canons that I followed as a magistrate for 16 years and the judges are supposed to follow is that we are here to serve the public. We are here not for ourselves, but to serve the public. So that's one of the things. And when it comes to judges who serve themselves, then we have an issue, of course.
I would agree. How do you identify your own blind spots?
Meaning...
I realize sitting behind a bench, you have a lot you're dealing with. And how do you recognize your blind spots and get past those?
I think I've answered this before, but it comes with time. Sitting on the bench and taking out completely your emotions is important in everything. You're closely listening to the actual facts and applying it to the law. I don't know. I've always had a really easy ability on doing that, separating myself from what I'm actually listening to and looking at. And that's part of being on the bench. You're not just listening. You're looking at people. You're reading them. What are they telling you from their facial expressions? What are they telling you from their body language? When do you know when to stop them from talking because it's going to go too far? Things like that. I mean, those are what a judge needs to do in order to make a sound decision.
Now, this is a different question for you than what I'm going to ask the sitting judge because it applies a little differently, but if elected, what is one measurable improvement that you'd like to achieve in your first term, and what steps would you take to achieve that goal?
This is a hard one for me. There's a couple different things that I would like to do differently. One is cooperation between the three courts. I think it's necessary to make sure that everyone works well together. And I can easily do that considering I have worked with all of the courts before in the past, and I'm comfortable in all the courts. I think Judge Prill is a fabulous judge and does a fantastic job. And I work extremely well with him and always have. I've been working with him for years. The other thing is more help for self-represented people. Working in small claims for so long, there it would be very beneficial. And when I did that, when I did the self-help website, I worked on creating a website with the Secretary of State for self-help. And that is where you go on the website and you can just type in your whatever, like let's say we're going to small claims or something like that. You type that in and it'll fill out the entire form for you. There was a grant that went along with that, which I did not apply for at the time because it was not offered, but I believe it's offered now, that would allow a kiosk in the courts. So you could, if you're self-represented, you could go in, you can type out what kind of case you're looking to do, and then it would help you fill out the form. Because as you know, court clerks cannot give legal advice to self-represented people, nor can judges. So it's often a time in which when I'm in when I'm presiding over a case, when people are self-represented, I have to consistently say, well, the rules of evidence do apply, but I can't explain to you what to do in this situation. So it'd be great if they had something to look at to kind of figure it out themselves. And having those kiosks, I think, would be very beneficial in the court.
That's a great idea. In fact, somebody asked me after I sat in on your courtroom, just to observe for the day and see how you did, asked me, what do you think? And I said, well, I could never do her job and I don't want it. And the reason why, my day would consist of waking up, going to work, going home, drinking and passing out and doing it all over again the next day. So I give you kudos on that, because being a referee, in my opinion, probably has to be one of the toughest positions, because like you said, you can't give legal advice, but you have to kind of steer them to help them make those decisions along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
well, that's about the end of it. If you want to take a few minutes, discuss anything you want, anything we didn't cover, something we did cover, I don't care. It's up to you.
Okay. I just wanted to talk about a couple more programs and services that I've helped implement. I was highly involved in the Michigan Association of District Court Magistrates, where I was elected president, and I served on several committees there. I was also asked to join the SOS Task Force, which we talked about a little bit before, to expand the assistance to self-represented persons. I helped edit the self-help website to make it more user-friendly while still complying with the law. I also volunteered to work with the State Court Administrative Office on two forms committees for criminal and civil forms. This was the most fulfilling commitment for me because I got to update the forms, make them user-friendly, and then I actually got to use the finished product daily in court. It was extraordinary, and I that was one of my favorite commitments I've ever been a part of. I did also want to say that, like I was saying before, a lot of the stuff that goes on in court is behind the scenes. So anytime during my time as district court magistrate, anytime the judge said, I'm taking that under advisement, I would get the case, research it, and draft an order. So I had a lot of time to research almost every single topic that came behind before the district court. And that was motions for summary dispositions and similar acts, which is an evidentiary issue, motions to suppress, restitution. Oh my gosh, I did so many restitution hearings and drafted opinions for those. Probation violations, bond violations. I've researched everything from mobile home laws to, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones because it's so extensive, the amount of different types of laws that I have gone through and researched. Anything that touches district court, pretty much, I've researched.
I was going to say district court, pretty much you're going to see about everything.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Yes.
It starts there.
And it may not go past that, but most of them start there. So that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about. I'm trying to think of the other stuff that I missed when I was talking to you earlier. I did also want to say that when Judge Klobisch retired in 2021, and the two jobs merged, I was also I also began doing all the research for the cases in probate court. So anything from holographic wills to notice when it comes to guardianships and things like that, those were things I was also researching at that time. So I love researching. I really do. Learning new laws because the law is constantly changing. It totally is. I mean, case law is always changing. Legislation's always coming with new laws that we need to follow. Another thing that I've always done is that with those databases I was saying that I made early on, I would update those if they change, if the laws change on those databases, if the scale recommendations were to up fines, I had to correct that in certain situations and things like that. So whenever anyone went to look up a law, they could always go back to that and see exactly what they were supposed to be applying. I can also say, I'm trying to think of some more stuff I want to let you know about myself. I love the outdoors. I'm a hunter. I have a CPL. I love four-wheeling with my kids. We spend a lot of time outside. It's probably because of that I've gotten so interested in DNR laws. I've always been the one in the court to research the DNR laws. Anything from boating, hunting, fishing, state park rules. A lot of people don't realize that, and this is probably going to get too technical, but a lot of people don't realize that with the DNR, there's a law and there's an order a lot of times. And then sometimes the order changes, but the law stays the same. And it's very difficult to match up the penalties with the actual new law that came through. So that's something a little interesting, but I'm always the one that people come to when they have questions about DNR laws. I still am, actually. So that's something that I wanted to point out. I'm trying to think beyond the bench, what else do I like to do? I spend a lot of time with my children. As I said, I have two children. They go to Zion Lutheran in Harbor Beach, and I'm part of the PTL there. I coached AYSO soccer. Both my kids are very much into soccer, and I love cheering them on. They did baseball this year. Love cheering them on for that. And because of my experience, practice, skill, knowledge, and understanding of the laws, courts, rules of evidence. I don't need to be trained, Ross. There would never be a first day on the bench for me. In any case, in district court or probate court, I would be able to take the bench tomorrow, hear the facts, and apply it to law, and make a fair and ethical decision. I would also be able to manage the court in a fair, effective, and efficient manner.
Good. Well, that's about all the time we've got today, but I did want to help you get familiar with the candidates and help you in making your decision. I do want to let you know, in 2023, the district court heard 3,281 cases and probate court heard 343, to put this in perspective. In 2024, there was 3,636 district court cases and 335 probate cases. And in 2025, there was 3,725 district cases and 348 probate cases. Now, district court, each of those years, according to the circuit court, district court, and probate court, was almost triple the other two combined. But each serves its own purpose. So you've got the probate court, which is a lot of civil stuff, mostly family related, children, elderly, things like that. And your district court could be anything from civil to criminal. And from covering the news in the courtrooms, it's interesting to watch and see, because it could start out in district court and end up in circuit court and then end up back in district court. It's kind of a ping pong match. So just wanted to give you a little perspective on the numbers there. But I want to tell you thank you for coming in and helping us get familiar with you. And if anybody out there is interested in learning more about her, she is out and about all time. It doesn't matter if it's a parade, a park, whatever, you can find her. And if you can't, you can always reach probate court or the referee court down at the Huron County building. So thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much, Russ. I really appreciate it.
And wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. I had a great time.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye.